the Wannabe Hunting Podcast is back. Oh man, it's been crazy. Haven't been any new episodes in a while, so I was super excited today to talk to Justin Henry. He's right here in the great state of Florida, and he got the job done this year up in Kentucky on a nice buck. And it was really cool talking to him. I first heard his story over on the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, and really an interesting story, an inspiring story, and one that I think is going to be an encouragement to a lot of folks. So I'm excited to share it with you. I am cranking it out as quick as I can. And so it was cool talking to Justin. Really appreciate him coming on. And thank y'all for hanging in there and listening to some episodes over the Christmas break and over the new year. And I really appreciate all the support. And looking forward to hearing from everybody in the great year of 2022 that we have, that is here. Happy New Year. And I almost said coming up. Anyway, I'll stop rambling and we'll jump into this episode with Justin Henry. And I think you guys will enjoy. Thanks for listening. Well, I appreciate you joining me. I first heard you over on, I think it was Sportsman's Nation, on the Nine Finger Chronicles.
Yeah, and, Dan.
Yeah, exactly. And, from there, just, gave you a follow request on Instagram and was like, man, I'd like to talk to you about, kind of your story, how you got into bow hunting and, what you're up to these days. And, so I don't know where you want to pick up, but, I heard kind of the whole deal on his podcast, but just kind of to recap it for some folks who may not have heard it.
Okay. Almost 38. I got four beautiful daughters and a wife. I was raised in church my whole entire life. I knew right from wrong. About the age of 16. You tend to make poor friend choices and, I won't even say it's poor friend choices. It is to a certain degree, but a lot of it's your own choices. And, I did what every other teenager does, party and drinking and, doing whatever comes with that. And, I got kind of my stuff together for a while. I married my oldest mother's, mom when I was 19, and I started dabbling when the pill epidemic really hit, and one thing turned to another, and I was a full-blown junkie is the way I put it. And I made some poor decisions, wound up in jail, and I wound up in prison. I got sentenced to 36 months in Florida. And at that point, I can vividly remember being in the county jail and just praying and just bawling my eyes out. It even gets me emotional thinking about it. But asking God to pour his grace on me again and to give me a second chance. He answered my prayers. I mean, I told him exactly the kind of woman I wanted, the whole nine yards, and he really made some changes in my heart. And I got to work release, which is basically you're still in prison, but you're allowed, you're in a center, and you go to work every day, and you just got to report back there. So it's kind of, their way of kind of getting you established back into civilization, more or less. Right. Well, anyways, I run into a girl, my wife, Emily, and we grew up at the same church. Our families know each other. We just hadn't seen each other in so many years. And right. She had kind of been in the same situation I have. She was trying to get her stuff together. And we started talking, and I had home visits, so she would come over to my mom's house, and we'd see each other and stuff like that. Well, you know, one thing, then she was exactly what I wanted, a good Christian woman. We both come from the same background. We both struggled in the same things, and God used the two of us, and just we've got the greatest family you could ever possibly imagine. We're both still clean. We're both work. We both have great jobs, and we're living a good life. And that's kind of my family background. But while I was in prison, I had a guy who was reading some hunting magazines, and it kind of intrigued me. You know, I was born out in the country, just never had any buddy to introduce me to the outdoors like that. I mean, I always grew up fishing and had fished even all through my addiction and stuff like that, but never any hunting. And I knew I would be a convicted felon, so bow hunting was my only option. Which is kind of what intrigued me, because I shot a bow when I was little through my uncle. He was into traditional archery hunting, and I can remember being little shooting with him and stuff like that. But yeah, just kind of got intrigued in that situation.
Yeah, that's cool. And I appreciate you giving the background. You know, I think there's probably a lot more people maybe that, you know, haven't got caught or didn't get caught that, you know, get into that stuff. And so I definitely appreciate you you know, sharing that. And definitely glad to hear, you know, what the Lord's done for you with your wife and your girls. Man, that's awesome. I have one daughter and a son, and I can't imagine having four daughters. So, you know, prayers up for you.
Yes,
But that's
absolutely. It's
fantastic.
it can be trying at times, but extremely rewarding.
Yeah, that's cool. And so, you know, from there, like you said, bow hunting was kind of your option there, and you know, read about it, I guess, in the magazines and stuff. And you know, what was it like when you actually you know, got an opportunity to hunt, you know, actually give it a try?
You know, so my wife's stepfather is a big hunter, and he bow hunts. So I kind of, you know, it just turned into a you know, he kind of showed me some things about, I guess, about 5 months after being out. I went to a pawn shop, and I was able to get a pretty good deal on a package PSE Stinger. Came with some arrows, a case, the whole nine yards. And
Nice.
I just went to shooting and watching videos and asking him for help. And my father-in-law's name is Jason. And just kind of, I fell absolutely head over heels in love with it. Just the flight of the arrow, the whole process. I mean, I know a lot of people put golf, I guess, in this kind of the same category, because it's you're chasing a personal perfection. It's
Right.
something that I don't think anybody will ever perfect. But we, you know, us as archers and bow hunters, we just there's just that love for it, and it intrigued me drastically. And I could honestly say, I mean, if it wasn't for my other positive life choices, I mean, bow hunting is and archery in general has opened up so many doors for me, and just given me that drive. Just to continue to do what's right. I don't want to miss a I don't want to miss a hunting season, you know. I don't want to miss a rut in Kentucky. You know, just things like that. You know, it's just unbelievable what archery and bow hunting has done for me.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's like the oldest, you know, one of the oldest sayings in the book is idle hands are the devil's workshop. And
Absolutely.
you start messing with a bow and all that, from the practice to the tuning to everything else, there's some work you can put in. There's a lot of hours you can put in, so
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and you know, so for the first season was rough. I'd say the first 2 seasons were rough on me. The very first morning, opening day of archery, 2014, sitting in the stands, and it's like out of nowhere, there's a doe standing 20 yards in front of me. Well, being as excited as I got, I might as well have jumped clear off the stand to grab my bow And well, that didn't last long. She looked right at me and bounded off. And that was the last deer I seen for probably two seasons.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was trying. I stuck with it. There are multiple times I wanted to give up, but just, I don't give up. And, you know, patience, practice, time. I knew it eventually, the opportunity would eventually arise. And opening weekend of my third season, I shot a doe.
Nice.
So that was a good highlight, and that just gave more fuel to the fire and just kept on grinding.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can definitely relate with moving too quick, making too much noise in the stand, never seeing deer from the stand.
Uh-huh.
And it was probably because I was moving around.
Oh, yeah.
They probably saw me and I didn't see them, but
yep, exactly.
For sure. That's pretty cool. You brought up the PSE package that you got, you know, to start off. I actually have an old PSE rally that I got off Craigslist, and I'm looking to upgrade my bow, you know, before next season. And anyway, what are you shooting now?
I shoot Matthews. You know, I feel like the way nowadays our technology, I mean, bow brands is no different than a Chevy, a Ford. It's all depending on, you know, what fits you. But I do like Matthews draw cycle, and just the smoothness and the quietness. But I was shooting a Matthews Traverse for the past couple seasons, and I got into archery tournament, 3D archery. Mm-hmm. As well, so that's a different rabbit hole. Yeah. But so I actually just bought the new not the new last year's Matthews V3, the 31. And I absolutely love that. I like a longer axle. I have a 29 3/4 to 30-inch draw length, depending on, you know, what bow. But so that longer axle, I feel a little more stable. I actually bought when the Triax first came out, my father-in-law and my other buddy that we hunt with, they bought the new Triax, and I was like, all right. So the following season I went to go buy a new bow, you know, keeping up with the Joneses type deal.
Yep.
And they had Matthews came out with the TX5, which was not on their flagship, but it followed the exact same blueprint, I guess, as the Triax, except it was 1 inch, it was 27 inch axle to axle, and only had a 5 inch brace height. Well, right. Me not knowing at the time really brace height or anything, I shot it and I was like, all right, cool, great. Well, for somebody with my draw length and everything like that, it didn't work. So I ended up actually trading that for the Traverse. And just the Traverse is one of those bows that wasn't really their flagship bow, and I think most people who's ever shot a Traverse, it's probably the number one underrated Matthews bow that was ever produced by them. I feel, and that's what I hear a lot of people say. But yeah, the V3 is, haven't got to shoot anything with it yet, but I've been shooting the crap out of it, that's for sure.
Okay, cool. My brother just bought a V3X,
and okay,
he's just got into bow hunting, but he's going all in on Matthews. So I'm looking at some older stuff, but that's cool. Definitely good to hear. You know, good to hear a good review on them. So
yep,
that's cool. So I know, and two, you mentioned earlier, the rut in Kentucky. Now it was Kentucky this year that you killed a buck, right?
Yes, sir. So we go, I've been, my father-in-law and our buddy Kenny, they got family up there in just outside of Lexington. The place is called Pleasureville. And they'd been going up there for a couple years prior to me coming into the picture. And I was just kind of sitting back on the sideline, just waiting for the invite. And finally the invite came. And, you know, the pictured in my head, you know, oh, there's going to be deer everywhere. I'm going to see big giant bucks running, chasing does, grunting, bust out the rattling antlers. Well, maybe in parts of Kentucky that might be true. And even in the part I was in might be true. But that's not always necessarily what goes down. The first year was an absolute grind. It was beautiful. It was different. It was very enjoyable. Just really couldn't seem to find the deer, you know, learning new properties, learning different things besides Florida. And, you know, previously me to go into Kentucky, I had shot a spike down here. I think maybe two spikes and like two does. So I had a couple of deer under my belt. Right. And not that I was opposed to shooting a 4 point or a 5 point in Kentucky, because I was at that point and down the line in bow hunting that, you know, I mean, I'm still trying to get some deer under my belt. You know, if a big one stepped out, awesome. If not, oh well, also. So the first year was a grind. The second year, I shot a small buck, made a bad shot on it, and just we never found him. We blood trailed him for over 500 yards and just never found him. I shot him high and through the back strap, high and back. So I do think he probably died. I got so excited. They wanted to go eat that night. I decided I was going to go in the stand by myself. I was in the stand maybe at the most 5 minutes before I let an arrow fly. It was the most unreal thing ever. And so by the time they hadn't even left for dinner, by the time I come pulling back up, they're like, "Whoa, what's up?" I was like, "I just shot one." They're like, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "No." So they canceled dinner and we went straight to blood trailing. So I believe I didn't give it enough time and all this other stuff. But, you know, those are lessons learned.
Exactly.
I've never made that mistake again. I will never rush into tracking a deer ever again. But those are things you learn as you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time out, try to make it a learning experience, you know, whether good or bad, but.
Yeah. So Kentucky is, it's become my home away from home. We take 10 to 12 days off every year and we go up there and hang out with family and hunt. I mean, we grind, you know, it's your typical 3:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock at night, getting home day in, day out. You know, for the people that don't hunt, well, you know, how does hunting make you tired? Well, when you're walking 2 to 5 miles every day up and down them ridges and sitting all day, you get worn out pretty daggum quick.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, this year, last year I shot a 7 point, nothing crazy, nice little 7 point. I got him shoulder mounted and I was just ecstatic, and he's in my living room now and I couldn't be happier with my first buck. This year, we grinded pretty good for about 6 or 7 days. And finally I got into, we went to this other property that we have hunted off and on. Jason, had some pretty good luck. He shot a couple, 130s out of this property, you know, higher 130s. He shot a double main beam out of there a few years back. There's good deer there. Last year we found this other spot and we had some insane, like, jury TV rut action last year. Both of us did 2 days in a row. I mean, I seen 8 bucks in a 2 hour period one evening last year. Wow. And they all just stayed. They were at that 50 to 60 to 70 yard mark. And I wasn't comfortable with that shot. So I ended up actually last year, I ended up, going up to the top of the ridge and I was sitting down and I was praying and I just happened to look over and I seen the 7 point that I ended up shooting. He come walking down, he gave me a 40 yard shot and I spined him and then I had to go up and put another shot in him. But I was ecstatic and everything worked out. So we went back there this year thinking, it's a pretty good spot. Maybe we can get back on it. And like I said, we struggled for quite a bit. So we went and checked out this, the other property we were familiar with and, got into them.
Gotcha. Yeah. And those are both, either like family owned or whatever properties up there?
No, it's actually all public land I hunt. It's all bow only. The public land where we're at up there in Kentucky is bow only. They do have a special quota. It's a 2-day gun hunt. You can hunt on the bow only management areas the weekend before rifle, which my father-in-law drew this year for the first time in 3 years since he'd been putting in for it.
Okay.
And you know, when you draw that tag every other year, it's like, man, if I had a gun, I could have shot him. If I had a gun, I could have shot him. Well, when you finally get the gun in your hand for him, just nothing. It just, nothing could happen. And he's a straight killer too. I mean, I call him Daniel Boone. He's just, he's just like, it seems like almost every time he sits in the stand, he kills something. But yeah, so the tables turned the past couple years, and he's had some opportunities, just couldn't get it to happen, and I was fortunate enough to make it happen this year.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very cool. So that that land up there, you said there's like some ridges and stuff like that. Is there anything particular that you like to look for up there that would be different compared to what you do in Florida? Or are you looking for basically the same thing? It's just flat down here and not up there.
Yeah, you know, I, being truthful, Florida has still stumped me to a certain degree. I haven't really figured out Florida. As much as I hunted, I think I'd figure it out by now. And it's like, you know, I can get them on camera throughout the summertime. I mean, this year I had some deers that would make registry on camera, and he actually showed up the day before opening day at 7:45 in the morning, 10 yards in front of my tree stand, but I could never see him on the hoof. But yeah, I mean, Kentucky is just, it's hardwoods, ridges, hollers, things of that such. So the topography is really key up there. You know, I watched a lot of Dan Infault's hill country videos and the leeward sides of the ridges and, you know, that upper 2/3 area. And it holds true. You know, usually the first day we'll get up there and we'll try to find, we'll get up on that upper 2/3. And sometimes it varies, you know, sometimes it's a little higher than the 2/3. Sometimes it's a little lower than the 2/3 where all the signs at. This year the sign wasn't quite there like it has been in the year past. Like there's certain areas that we could go to that we're like, oh, there'll be the big community scrape here. This area should have a bunch of rubs. And just this year, we just didn't see it like we had in the past. And another thing, this year, the leaves were still holding on the trees, which was weird. And I heard a lot through a lot of people up on the East Coast and in those general areas. I mean, the leaves were basically turning fall colors while we were up there in November, which normally leaves are gone at that point. But thickets, I learned this year, thickets, that is key, especially trying to find them doe groups. And the way that these ridges, you know, lay out, you hear other people talk, you know, these finger ridges and stuff like that. You know, I try to hunt the leeward side, and in them hill countries, the wind is very unpredictable. You get swirling winds. I had reached, like I said, I dropped to the ground. I'm fumbling for my release, which I don't have. He's coming through some thick stuff, so he heard me hit the grunt tube. So he hears the grunt, but he doesn't know what it is. Well, he must have seen me rustling around in my backpack, trying to grab my release out of my jacket pocket. And when he did, he didn't spook very bad. He just kind of threw his head up, didn't like what he seen, walked off. I was like, all right, bad, but let me set up here. I'll find this tree. I'll set up and I'll sit here for the next couple of days. He's bound to make his rounds back in the next three. We had like 4 days left. I said, he's bound to come back through in the next couple of days.
Right.
So I set up there that evening. He never came back through. That following morning, I'm in the stand. I ended up shooting two does back to back within 5 minutes of each other, which I was on cloud nine about that. And the following day, the next morning, I'm in the stand and I had a nice 8-point, a decent little 8-point, maybe 100 and 10, 115 inches, but like I said, I'm not picky at all.
Right.
So I had an opportunity at him. Just things didn't line up. I don't know if he caught some wind, whatever the case may be, and he kind of just walked on out of my life. So, yeah, that morning, my father-in-law sends me a text, and he's like, there's a nice 8-point coming down the ridge. I was like, cool, he's going to get a shot. Well, the wind switched. The buck winded him. He texts me and says, just got winded. I could hear the buck blowing because he was like 250 yards from me.
Right.
Well, he comes, the buck shoots back up the ridge and comes back down towards me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if he comes back down on this bench, I'll have a 27-yard shot. Done. It'll be done.
Right.
He read the script perfectly. He came right to that 27. I actually shot him and stand in the exact same spot I shot the does.
Wow.
As weird as that was, I didn't realize it till after it all, there was a trail that came up off the top of the ridge, and I had found some sign at the top of the ridge, but hunting the tops of those ridges is just too, the wind is too unpredictable.
Right.
But anyway, so he came down and he stood there at 27 yards, and I double lunged him, and he ran about 35, 40 yards and piled up.
That's awesome.
Got to put those new iron wheels that I just had to have to tell my wife, I got to have them, And they're expensive, but man, let me tell you, they have no clue what hit them.
Yeah,
they literally, like, I mean, I've heard people talk about it, and I just, you know, I've seen it on videos and stuff. That arrow zipped through him so quick. He literally, like I said, I mean, he bounded off a few yards, stopped, looked back, and fell over. It just happened so quickly. I mean, I know shot placement is a lot of it too, especially when you take the air out of them, but it's, right. It all worked out pretty good.
No, that's cool. I'm always interested, you know, what broadhead, you know, kind of how you're set up. How about your arrow? Would you say it's, you know, about how much does it weigh?
It is. The arrows I was shooting at that time were 500 grains on the head. I switched to shooting the Black Eagle Rampages.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about 10.8 grains per inch, I think, or 10.8, 11.3, one of the two.
Gotcha.
And so I got it right at about 500 grains, which I think is a good happy medium. I didn't want to go too light. Didn't want to go too heavy. FOC does not really matter. I mean, it does, but it doesn't. And I'm not knocking on the heavy arrow game.
Right.
But, you know, I think 600, 700 grains is just so overkill. But to each their own, if it gets the right job done, let it rip.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's cool. I think I was going to look into, you know, trying to get around the 480, 500 grain for next year's arrow setup. But anyway, that was just from...
Yeah, I just... Go ahead.
Research or, I was just saying, that's kind of from research or whatever. I think probably came up to the same conclusion as you, you know, 750 grains, a little bit over... or whatever. Exactly. And then I know other people who shoot something super light and they're like, yeah, but it's fast. So, you know, catch something kind of in the middle makes sense to me anyway.
Exactly. I mean, I think Black Eagle came out with it's called their Focus Insert. It's more set around the FOC and it's a stainless steel insert.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got a aluminum outsert that mm-hmm. goes over the shaft. And so I ordered some and I had another half dozen arrows I had cut and set up and I put those in. And that puts my arrow weight right at 450,
mm-hmm.
448 to 450, or 548 to 550.
Gotcha.
That seems to shoot. Now, I was shooting that out of my Traverse, the other arrows. I just, like I said, I just switched to the V3. That V3 is a little bit quicker than the Traverse.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the 550 arrows seem to be shooting a little better out of the V3. So I pretty much converted all my arrows over to those.
Okay.
And I'll be shooting that next year. And also with the outserts, it gives you kind of that collar. But with the iron wheels, doesn't tear up the carbon on the end of the arrow as much. So an outsert is kind of nice, especially with a little bit smaller, because those are the 5 millimeter arrows.
Okay, is
So a little
that
smaller diameter.
a little bit smaller? Yeah, I shot a little bit smaller. That's what I've been using. Now, I say shooting and using and all that. I have not yet put an arrow through an animal, so I don't want to
No, I mean, no, I get it.
know something that I don't, but I'm in the research phase, so I'm always interested in stuff like that. So that's
Well,
cool.
you shot one this year, right?
Yeah, but not with a bow.
With the gun?
That was
That's
with
all right, though.
black powder. Yep, that was a muzzle loader.
Okay.
Now, and it was funny, you were talking earlier about how you're always looking like, man, I could have got that one if I had a rifle or whatever. Well, this one was kind of the other way around. Had the black powder, so I could, reach out a little ways, and probably shot him at 12 yards. So it worked out.
There you go.
But yeah, I could have had the bow on that one, but I had a little extra insurance having the gun with me, so.
Just exactly.
But it was cool, first buck, so I was bumped.
Absolutely.
But speaking of gear and kind of technical stuff, you were talking about that you shot those two does and the buck right there at 27 yards. Are you shooting a multi-pin or single pin? What kind of deal do you have going with the sight?
I shoot a spot hog, the single pin spot hog, and I went from multi pin a few years ago. Then I went and I had bought the CBE Engage Hybrid 3-pin slider, and I like that. And truthfully, I think for me, 3 pins was too much. I think 2 pins is pretty good. The single pin is nice. I like it because I've also been shooting some 3D tournaments and stuff like that. So I shoot, the long stabilizer,
Right.
single pin, magnification, all that stuff. So I'm kind of my sight picture, I like the single pin. The only downfall, like everybody says, in a tree stand situation, things happen fast. Do you
Yeah.
have time to roll that down to 30 or up to, whatever the case may be? Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And if you set your pin at a good average of like 25, depending on your arrow weight, my 25 yard, 20 I'm good with, and 30 aim a little high and I'll be okay. But
Right.
there are those situations where, that 2 pin, having a fixed pin at 20 and then another one at like 33 or whatever it is also nice. And my spot hog does have a place where I can run a fiber to get me my second pin. I just have to go buy the dual pointer for the spot hog, but no big deal. Yeah, I mean, single pin is nice. I think 2 pins would be ideal, though.
Okay. That's interesting because the only thing I've ever shot is a relatively inexpensive 3-pin, and just from, again, like research that I've done, the 2-pin kind of made sense to me. And one thing is, I'm not shooting anything at 80 yards or 60 yards or 50 yards.
Right, exactly.
So to me, if I have maybe a 20 and a 30 or something like that, I feel like I would be comfortable, though, and not as busy as far as what I'm looking at. So.
Exactly. And that's why I kind of like a slider. I mean, I practice a lot of the shooting at the house. I have an acre of property, so I can shoot 50, 60 yards. A lot of my shooting's at about 45 to 50 yards.
Right.
And that's pretty much the extent. Even in 3D tournaments, the furthest yardage I'll shoot is about 42 in the class that I'm in. Of course, you're trying to hit a quarter for points, basically a quarter size at, 42 yards. And magnification is nice in those situations, but it exaggerates your pin movement as well too. So
Gotcha. Is there quite a few 3D courses within range of you? A couple hours?
oh yeah, yeah. I was part of a club, the Daytona Archery Club, and we just lost the property. We're trying to look for some new property, which I think we might be getting. But yeah, there's the Florida ASA League, which runs through all your regular ASA rules and stuff like that. The way, you know, if you watch Levi Morgan shoot or Danny McCarthy or any of these other guys that are shooting
right
professionally, same rules apply. They just, they're in a, you know, they got to judge their yardage basically, but there's classes for whatever it is you want to shoot, hunting class with fixed pins to traditional archery to kids shooting, whatever it is, they have something. But yeah, I mean, there's one pretty much every weekend. The first one actually starts this weekend.
Okay.
But it's on Sunday, so I won't be attending. I made a promise to myself this year that I wouldn't let anything come in front of my family time in church on a Sunday. You know, I've always put my priorities backwards a lot of times. Like, oh, I want to go fishing or I want to go hunting. But this year I'm not going to make those choices. I'm just going to do what needs to be done.
Yeah, so. Good deal, man. Yeah, I don't ever hunt on Sunday, so I'm with you.
Yep.
But no, that's cool though. There's a couple like clubs or courses, I guess you call them, up here in the Jacksonville area.
Yeah, I shoot by you. I shot one by you.
Oh, okay. Is it the like Fort Caroline something? Maybe
Fort Caroline. Yeah, I tell you what. Next time we have a shoot up there, I'll try to remind you a couple weeks prior. Maybe we can meet up and you can shoot one. They're $25 to enter.
Cool.
But they're a blast. I've never met so many nice people that are all like-minded. They're willing to help, even though you're shooting against them.
Right.
You know, you got an issue. They're there to help. I mean, I've had guys hand me $500 sights. Hey, throw this on real quick. You shoot with this, you know, tell me how you like it, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Just really, really friendly people that are really there to help and just kind of keep that drive going.
Cool. Good to hear.
And it keeps you shooting all year long.
Right. Yeah. And I haven't been over there yet. And there's one other one in town, but I was a little bit surprised that was like pretty much it. You know, for our relative area, I guess you'd say. But,
yeah, there's a few more over towards like the Gainesville area.
Yeah.
You know, you got like where they hold the Gator Cup, which is, what is it, Newberry.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
yep.
Newberry. Yeah, Newberry is over there. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's something that I would, you know, I'm definitely interested. So yeah, give me a reminder.
Absolutely.
Cool, man. Awesome. Well, I'm gonna let you go. I know we both got work today, so I appreciate you joining me, and appreciate the tips and info along with the story.
Yes, absolutely, man.
Cool. Is there anything else that you want to leave us with, whether it's advice on hunting or otherwise, or anything like that? Just leave it open to you if you have anything to add.
No, not really, man. I guess I'll just leave with, you know, people can change.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody out there's got a family member or a friend dealing with any kind of addiction or struggles, don't turn your back on them always. You know, so many people had given up on me, rightfully so. And it took a while for them to see the change, but you know, people do change, and God can work. He can change your heart and turn you into a totally different person that you never would have imagined. So, you know, just that's all.
No, that's good. That's good, man. I appreciate the encouragement and the reminder. So awesome, man. Well, hopefully we can, get together and chat again, but I'm glad it finally worked out. And
yes, sir.
I enjoyed it, man.
I appreciate you, Amos.
Yes, sir. You have a good one.
You too.
Amos here with the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. I want to encourage everybody to go check out Ridge Belts. You can see them at ridgebelts.com. I wear a Ridge Belt almost every single day of my life. And that's the awesome thing about Ridge Belts. Whether I'm heading to work, the golf course, or the deer woods or the turkey woods, I can wear my Ridge belt. It's extremely lightweight, durable, waterproof, looks awesome, and they even come with buckle options right off the website. So check out Ridge belts today. I think you'll be happy that you did. Amos Medford here, signing off from the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. Thanks for listening today. Had a little technical difficulty right in the middle, but we kind of jumped back into where the story was, so hopefully everybody could follow that. But once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Appreciate everybody out there. Hope you had a good Christmas and New Year, and looking forward to all that this year holds. I'm going to try to get in a duck hunt or two before that season is out. Maybe another deer hunt. We'll see what happens. And I am excited to line up some guests to talk turkey hunting here in the near future. So shoot me a message on Instagram if you're interested in coming on and talking about the deer season you had or turkey season that's coming up. So appreciate everybody out there. Y'all have a good one. Thanks for listening. As always, honor God, work hard, and keep hunting.